Let us hear now the good news from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The first time I ever preached here, I told y'all about this little coffee shop in Nashville, Tennessee. It's called JJ's Market and Cafe. JJ's was about two blocks from where I lived, and over my 3 years of living in Nashville, I was at that coffee shop almost every morning. It had a cool vibe. It had the old green and pink neon sign standing tall out front. They played classical music all morning and indie rock music at night. Oh yeah, there's a picture there. It was a kind of dimly lit room, but it had lots of space with tables and chairs that invited you to just stay and study. Or more often than not, it invited you to stay and let yourself pretend like you were studying. Admittedly, I had had better coffee, but that didn't matter. I kept coming back, partially because I became good friends with the owner, Sam, though it was really even more than that. When I first moved to Nashville, it was the first time my twin brother Ben and I had lived apart. In other words, I had never really lived alone. Nashville was a big city. I was overwhelmed by it and really still kind of am. I didn't know where to go or what to do, nor did I really know anyone yet. So to get out of my apartment one day, I went walking and I found JJ's. Almost immediately, JJ's became a place of comfort for me. It was a place where I could just go and be. And then over time, JJ's became even more than that. It was a place where I'd go to spend hours writing papers. It was where I spent many late nights with divinity school friends, stressing over New Testament exams. It's where we went to have those long-winded conversations about all the problems in the world and how we were going to be the ones that made things better. I was sitting in JJ's when I got a call from Stacy and Melissa asking if I would be the associate pastor of this church. JJ's was a sanctuary for me. It was a holy place. It's a place of comfort where I was known, where I grew, where I connected to others. I learned what it meant to be open there. I'd often watch Sam greet his customers by name, impressed at how he could always remember them. And I was amazed at how he always introduced himself to new people. All were welcome. Sam, who is a student at Vanderbilt Divinity School now, always told me that JJ's was never really about the coffee for him. He liked to call it JJ's church. He wanted it to be a place where people could gather, to laugh and to cry, imagine and build community. And really, that's what it was. It was a church, not by name, but by practice. People gathered around those tables with lemon poppy seed muffins and coffee cups, communion elements. And we were nourished, and we were caffeinated to be the people that God created us to be. JJ's wasn't a sacred space because of its building. The building really wasn't much to look at, as you can see there. The chairs were worn down, the stuffing was coming out of the couches, but it was made sacred by the community that formed it. By the time and energy and the unique gifts that people invested into it. And when I think of JJ's, I think of that distinct neon light shining bright on the corner of 21st Avenue in Nashville, Tennessee. Today's gospel text in Matthew encourages readers to ask two fundamental questions. Who are we? How are we going to live it? Expanding on the call to discipleship in the first part of chapter 5, Jesus uses two metaphors to describe and prescribe who his followers are and what they do for and in the world. You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. Jesus emphatically repeats, you are. Jesus reminds his disciples that we have a role in this whole salvation and kingdom building thing. In other words, Jesus says, here's your job description, go live it. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was applying for a job and my job description was written in metaphor, I'd have some follow-up questions. Be salt. Be light. Salt and light are enhancing. They're life-giving elements. When you take that first bite of mashed potatoes and realize it's a little bland, the first thing you do is add a little salt. Salt adds flavor. It takes something tasteless and spices it up. Not only that, salt throughout history has been used as a preservative and to keep things fresh. Many roads were formed out of animals paving paths on their way to salt licks. Animals needed the salt to live. Of course, we know it doesn't take much salt. Too much can be bad news. It raises cholesterol. Still, the world needs salt. And the world needs light. What is more life-giving than sunlight? Light is the energy that gives things color. It guides us when we walk in the dark. It helps plants grow. Ultimately, it is life that gives the energy for life to be sustained. Be salt. Be light. Jesus says, church, I need you to give the world life, to create a sanctuary for me, a holy place, a place of comfort where people are known, where people are nurtured, sustained, connected to each other, and willing to live what it really means to be open. I need you, Jesus says, to come alive. Jesus also offers another reminder. Salt that loses its taste is no longer good for anything and is thrown out. If light is hidden under a bushel basket, then the light is darkened. If salt isn't salty and light isn't lighting, then it isn't much good, is it? I was walking outside the Divinity School library one time when I overheard a conversation from a couple of undergraduate students. They were reflecting on the renovations happening at the Divinity School, when one of them said, I don't know why they'd spend any money on that. I guess they do, like, spiritual stuff, but I don't think they serve any real-world purpose. Y'all, I was salty, and not the life-giving salt that Jesus is telling us about. I was angry at this kid's description of my school, of my vocation, and then I thought, is that really how people view the church? Every time I see that JJ's Market and Cafe sign, I think of what that place means to me. And I wonder, what do people see when they look at the sign of a church? If salt isn't salty and light isn't lighting, then it isn't much good, is it? Matthew's text challenges us to reflect on who we are and how we live into that. It's one thing to know your identity, it's another thing entirely to live it. Salt and light enhance. They give life, and we know we have to constantly reevaluate, to ask those reflective questions about who we are in order to maintain that flavor. This is why each week during our general fund campaign, we've asked that same question, what shall we bring? And for the past few weeks, we have reflected on that question. We have reminded ourselves that we do indeed know what is good, and what does God require of us but to do justice, to love mercy, and walk humbly with God. We have explored the heart of our faith that God is love, and to love God is to love others. Now we remember that we are called, that as disciples of Christ, we are salt and we are light. To be that fully, it means making the intentional decision to show up together, knowing that in our being together, we are creating sacred space. It means investing in the vision God has for us and doing the table work of building communities and relationships that affirm, embrace, and magnify that God's love is life-giving and light shining. Jesus says, church, I need you to give the world life. And y'all, I just want to affirm this morning, you are doing it. This church inspires me. It excites me, and it fills me with hope for what can be. There is no question that this church is filled with life and love and is eager to share it with a world that needs it. From the first conversation I had with Melissa and throughout the interview process, I knew something special was happening here, and I wanted to be a part of that. And in my first few months, I have witnessed a church community that truly believes in its purpose. Y'all value the vulnerability and openness that adds flavor and depth to our relationships. Y'all have the hearts and working hands to shine God's light of love, healing, and justice when hope is desperately needed. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And on this Celebration Sunday, I think that is worth celebrating. We celebrate our intentional decision to live into that responsibility of being salt and being light. We are celebrating each of your willingness to believe in the ministry of this church and provide the resources to add flavor to the world and light to the darkness. We celebrate the pursuit to create a space where people can be vulnerable together, imagine together, and love together. Y'all, we are creating sacred space, made holy by the love of the people that fill it, sustained by the energy and the gifts that each of you share, and it is worth celebrating the recognition that we are called and that we are willing to be that life-giving church that God calls us to be. We are people gathered around tables with bread and with cup, and we are nourished. And we are sustained to be the people that God created us to be. Be salt. Be light. Be who you already have been called to be and are capable by the power of God of being in and for the world. And when people see that Heart of the Rockies Christian Church sign, they will see a distinct light shining on the corner of LeMay and Trilby. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Go be it. Amen.